advancedenglish.net. Listening and Reading 6. Who Should You Marry? I received a drunken phone call on Tuesday morning at 3 a.m. from my friend Ralph, telling me he'd been given an ultimatum by his girlfriend. Marry me or else. Shall I marry her? He asks me, and I immediately reply, of course, she's kind, she's not bad-looking, and she's intelligent. But I can't. Why not? I asked. Because she's not the one. And it's here that I'll have to explain the one. The one is the person on this earth you are supposed to love. Your one true love, the light of your life, your soulmate, etc., etc. And on a point of pronunciation, you can never say the one. You have to leave a big pause before you say it. So, for example, if you've just met a girl and you think she's the one, you don't say, hey, I've just met a girl and I think she's the one. You say, I've just met a girl and I think she's... pause. The one. This pause reflects the sacred attitude with which people view the concept. And it's interesting because the one doesn't just appear in love movies. It also appears in The Matrix and many religious stories. The one is the chosen one, and parallels here are relevant because both the religious and amorous concept are spoken of with almost mystical reverence, and rightly because both rely on blind faith. Anyway, to return to the story, I say to Ralph, Ralph, you're 41 years old. If you haven't met the one yet, then I don't think you're going to meet her. Well, we continued talking, and then Ralph confessed that not only was his girlfriend not the one, but he, and this is another great nonsense phrase, loved her but wasn't in love with her. I suddenly decided to use some reverse psychology. Okay then, don't marry her. No, I can't do that, he said. But why not? She's not the one. Yeah, but what if I don't marry her, and then she dumps me, and then I don't meet anyone else, and I end up alone? Let's get to the point. With all his confusion between loving her, not loving her, and not wanting to be alone, etc., Ralph was working through the permutations of a question that I've often considered. Who should you marry? You see, for a lot of people, the answer is simple. You should marry a person you love. Unfortunately, though, statistics prove that this method doesn't work. 1 in 2 marriages end in divorce, and almost everyone marries 'cause they're in love. The love criteria is flawed. Of course, the romantics will say, no. What happened is that they fooled themselves they were in love, but they weren't really in love. Well, by definition, if it's possible you're fooling yourself once, you will never know when you genuinely feel love or if you're fooling yourself. Unless you develop a true love detector, something like an FBI lie detector, you can't be sure the love is real. But anyway, as we all know, even true love breaks down, and in the end, people get divorced. Often, people in the deepest, most passionate relationships can have the most violent and disturbing breakups. So we return to the same question. Who should you marry? Which proposals should you accept? How do you decide who to commit the rest of your life to? And I'm afraid the answer is not a romantic one. In fact, this question is so important and can have so many consequences for you and those around you if you get it wrong that you must treat it with a cold, calculating detachment. Basically, you need to get a pen and paper and start analyzing the situation with psychological profiling, flowcharts, costs and benefits, advantages and disadvantages. Come on, this is the most important decision of your and your future children's life. You gotta make the right choice. This approach brings to mind an episode of the 90s TV show Friends, when Ross has to decide whether to stay with his girlfriend or not, and he makes a list of pros and cons. By the way, Rachel finds the list and reads it, so first rule is make bloody sure your prospective partner never sees your analysis. My advice is to do it on one session, don't save it on your hard drive, and never tell the other you did an analysis. It's a bit of a passion killer. Imagine, "So, darling, will you marry me?" "Yes, darling, I've conducted an extensive cost-benefit ratio and decided that despite your disposition to depression and poor economic prospects, your motherly nature, fantastic body, and good cooking outweigh these negative factors by an attractive 10%, and I believe you will make an acceptable spouse." Yes, always keep the list a secret. Anyway, to conclude, if you face the question of whether to marry or propose to someone, I recommend you analyze the situation with a passionate heart, but a hard head. Remember, a proposal of marriage isn't just a love prospect. It's also a business proposal, a permanent flat share, and a creative partnership. Think long and think hard. Okay, now I'd like you to visit our website, advancedenglish.net, or our Facebook page, Advanced English Vocatic, and do this week's writing homework. We want you to tell us about who you decided to marry and why, or who you think you should marry, or how you're going to decide. Okay, that's all for today. Thank you.